You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes in the West Indianapolis Community News, and today was supposed to be the day we finally concluded the player season recap series with Edmund Sumner and breaking down his 2019-20 campaign. But that has all dramatically changed because Thursday was a somewhat crazy, interesting day in the Pacers sphere and Pacers Twitter land, and it needs to be discussed and what it could mean for the team. So let's just dive right into it. It all relates to Victor Oladipo and his future with the team and Miles Turner ends up chiming in on Twitter. It was quite the crazy day. If you don't have Twitter, I'll break it all down for you here. So let's start with where this all stemmed from, right? J. Michael of the Indianapolis Star apparently has been, you know, gathering this report for weeks. Not even apparently, he said this. He tweeted this out. Greg Doyle also talked about this on 1070, right? So J. Michael hears from a couple people, three sources, that during games this past season, Victor Oladipo said to opponents on the other team some iteration of, "Can I come play with y'all?" You know, that's quoted in the article. Toronto Raptors, Miami Heat, and the Knicks were the three teams listed in the article. So first of all, that's not great. That's obviously going to rub teammates wrong, other people in the organization, even if it's in a joking way, right? Because let's look at those three teams when the Pacers played them this season. They lost to the Knicks at home right after Vic came back. They lost 85-92, probably a frustrating game. The Raptors, they lost to after Vic came back, and Toronto. And the Heat, obviously, they got swept by and lost to them in the bubble in the only healthy game that both teams played. So the first thing to say is, yeah, they got smoked by those teams. You could say he, you know, frustrated, joking, whatever. But that's not a spin you can make when his future's been in the air and the Heat he's been connected to a bunch and big market teams he's been connected to, like the Knicks, because of his off-court pursuits. That's a terrible look. Terrible look if it's true. And the truthful part is hard to get into. Like Jay's reporting has heard it from three people. It's impossible to dispute that. Tom Crean, Vic's college coach, obviously at IU, now the coach of Georgia, went on 1070 yesterday with Dan Dockich and apparently had called Vic during the day to ask if this was true. Vic denied it. You know, but do we need everyone who Vic's interacted with in his life to opine on the reporting? If A, J. Michael has three sources, that seems legit to me. B, what the hell is Vic going to say? Like, yep, I'm a dick. Like, you know, that there's no reason we need to have an opine on this situation. Like, even if this isn't who Vic's true personality is, and they were frustrating losses, whatever, still an awful thing to do with your future up in the air. So this is where the report started. And it seems like Oladipo, you know, has had conversations with Bjorkgren and is somewhat bought into what the Pacers are going to do this coming season. So maybe something was happening last year. You know, I've heard from some people that he had quite the, maybe mood swings is the wrong word, but his attitude was up and down. And this report goes on to say more about stuff like that from J. Michael himself, right? That how Oladipo felt during the last season, how his play was, the business factors heading into both potentially trading him or keeping him. Big bomb in here, too, that J. Michael says, Oladipo has been discussed often, including in several three-team deals, along with Miles Turner. League sources tell the Indy Star. So pretty crazy report that Oladipo would be willing to do that or say something like that in a game. And you know, the stuff just keeps happening, right, where you know he opts out early and then tells the media without telling the Pacers. And then in the bubble, he does the, you know, hug the Heat thing after the game or smiling after a loss that rub people the wrong way. And like, look, that happens. That wasn't a story to me. I didn't talk about it at the time. But it is something that you add into the bigger picture in this situation. Sky Agnes had a report a while ago that there was a rift between Oladipo and the Pacers after his injury. The things just keep adding up. He talked about not being able to control the rumors when, guess what, Vic? You can control the rumors, right? Like, you keep putting these things one after the other, after the other, after the other. And basically every step of the Oladipo Pacers saga since his injury has just rolled the wrong way. It's rolled to this guy is kind of maybe harming chemistry at this point. I can't say that for sure. I don't know the relationship between players, and we'll get to the Miles thing on Twitter in a second. I mean, that is all just internet drama, conjecture. It could be absolutely nothing, but you know, it's worth talking about in the context of the situation, right? If it's causing a rift between players on the team, maybe you do have to decide to make a trade before the season starts to salvage chemistry. Who knows? So Jay's report also carries on. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. You know, the front office, he says the front office has a good rapport with Oladipo. And again, I've heard those parties have communicated as well. Not that Jay's report needs backing up, but I've heard that as well. You know, he said it's increasingly possible Oladipo could stick around in the short term, right? I think that keeping him till the trade deadline makes absolutely all the sense in the world. Even if there's a potentially toxic situation, he can improve his trade value on the court, right? It's that easy. That just makes sense, and I think both parties can be, you know, it makes sense for him to stay early in the season. But yeah, it's going to be his upside for the season. Who knows? And if it's hurting the team, they'll certainly try to move him earlier than the trade deadline. But you know, he's gotta change his mentality and not be doing stuff like that. If it is true, right? It's hard to like. Do you really want to believe what Tom Crean says? Vic says. Or do we want to go with what three other people told a reporter? I don't know how to sort that out. And we might be seeing the other side of the coin in a second, because I do want to take a little break and talk about afterwards. I want to talk about the stuff that happened on Twitter with Oladipo's sister and Miles. But first, of course, it's Locked On Pacers. We're talking about Built Bar, because you guys just have to try it, right? Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They're great for the health conscious guy. They're a great way to maintain weight or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They are low calorie, low sugar, but high protein and high fiber protein bars that are 100% covered in chocolate and soft and easy to chew. So for example, the coconut almond flavor has 18 grams of protein and 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Super healthy, super delicious. They have 18 awesome flavors. I've tried 12 of them. They're delicious. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, you'll get 20% off your next order. I highly recommend you try them. Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So this is not my favorite thing, talking about internet drama, because it's kind of hard to cut through. It's hard to see if it's actually real. I don't know what anyone's saying. No one's actually really saying anything. That's kind of part of the issue here. So Victor Oladipo's twin sister, Victoria, is on Twitter, and this is kind of where it started. So Jay Michael publishes his article, and this, you know, it kind of blows up on the Star because it's a big deal, and then it gets to Bleacher Report, right? And they aggregate stuff, they put pictures on it, and Bleacher Report tweets, you know, the quote, Victor Oladipo says, "Can I come play with y'all in front of his Pacers teammates?" So Oladipo's twin sister Victoria tweets that and says, "This tweet reeks. What kind of teammates would just lie like this?" So boom, right away. You know, before this gets crazier, this is kind of what Pacers fans were hoping to see in some way, right? Oh, no, this isn't true. This is a lie. This isn't relate. You know, Vic wouldn't do this, and I don't know. You know, Tom Crean, again, not someone we need to opine. Vic's sister, also not someone we need to opine. They're obviously going to rush to his defense. Again, he says three leak sources in his article, right? Three different people telling him this happened. Someone is lying somewhere, and it's either three people or these Twitter people. Anyway, so Oladipo's sister tweets that. Someone replies and says, Miles Turner. And, you know, Miles Turner being the teammate that would lie. And there we go. Oladipo's sister comes in and tweets two emojis. One that is the, like, zip your lips emoji and then a shrugging girl. And then Miles Turner sees this, right? So he replies on Twitter because he's a person who has to defend himself all of a sudden. And he said, "Damn, it's like that?" Question mark. So, this, you know, Oladipo's sister effectively, you know, maybe not calling out Miles, because the tweet that said Miles said, "Miles Turner's sorry ass," probably, right? So, Oladipo's sister here, by replying to that tweet only with the shrug emoji and the "my lips are sealed," isn't saying anything, right? She's just kind of, they're emojis, but it does add to her thoughts on Miles, whereas she didn't know. You know, she didn't say anything about any other player. So Miles now has to come in and say, "Okay, you know, really? Like, how are you going to do this? How is it me?" Miles' trainer or personal assistant, I forget which one, replied to him and said, "Did not come from our camp," right? So all of a sudden this rumors are flying on Twitter, which is dangerous because they can't be validated. These people aren't, you know, these aren't really public statements. You know, they're not coming from PR. They're not anything like that. But they're noteworthy. And if there really is some sort of beef between Oladipo and Turner, maybe that's surfacing in this form. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying there even is some beef, right? Like, in the past, Oladipo has said nothing but nice things about Turner, both as a teammate and a player. This is not Oladipo speaking anyway. This is his twin sister. I have no opinion on if this means there's a rift between the two players. But again, in the context of all the stuff that's happened with Oladipo since his injury, which is why the first segment here was important, and this article, it is noteworthy that this escalated further than just the report itself, right? So then Oladipo's sister just keeps going. She doesn't do anything necessarily. She just keeps saying that she has receipts or something like that. She says, "Y'all have so much to say, so let's talk about it because I have the receipts." She never has posted any receipts or said anything like that. I don't know if they, you know, these receipts, whatever. Receipts in this instance, for those unaware, basically means she has, like, proof of something. Whether that means someone said something or someone's a bad teammate, whatever. The receipts could be unrelated to this report but related to something else. I have no idea. This is just what she's saying. But she keeps going. She says, "Rumors are rumors for a reason. If you didn't hear him say it, it's not true, or we're forgetting that people lie," right? So someone is possibly lying in the story. Then she says, "A reporter with zero sources really has some people in my mentions being disrespectful, which is sad in all seriousness. If he didn't quote anyone, then he made it up. End of story." I don't buy that it's made up. Again, it came from three sources. This Jay has told the story via his own tweets and Greg Doyle talking about it on 1070 about how this article came to be, right, where he got this information, tried to verify it from many parties, got it from three people, contacted Oladipo's agency. They didn't respond for comment. I can go to his Twitter right now because it's sitting in front of me, right? But he got it from enough people that three people being lying doesn't make any sense, whereas the people defending Oladipo lying does kind of make sense in this instance. I can't point a finger at anyone. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just, you know, giving all the information, right, what side stands to gain from it. But anyway, she's pointing fingers and saying this is a lie, this isn't true. But yeah, Jay, obviously said, here's Jay's tweet I found. It says, "I reached out for 2+ weeks to run the specifics of what I had heard through Oladipo's representation. No response. Would have been more than happy to give them space to answer, deny, or explain. Only mention the team, so I could verify 2 to 3 more. I couldn't, so I didn't name them," right? So it could be more teams than the Heat, Raptors, and Knicks. I just brought them up because A, they're mentioned, and B, they lost all three of those teams. So pretty crazy day of both story and the outfall of the story between, you know, Oladipo. If Oladipo actually said those things in-game, I mean, all of a sudden, you have to really question if he belongs on the Pacers right now, because if he doesn't want to be here at all, he's publicly saying in games that he doesn't want to be here. He's been injured. He hasn't been that good. And there's another part in this story about the protests. The Pacers were – I got to find this exact part so I don't say anything incorrect. But they had the Pacers had a meeting before the seeding games or whatever, you know, in the wake of the George Floyd killing, where they were talking about social justice efforts, right? And Brogdon and McConnell and a bunch of the Pacers are talking about all the social justice stuff they can do. And Oladipo said, nothing we do is going to change anything. And that apathy, J. Michael said, was off-putting. And I agree that would be off-putting in that instance. So maybe the Oladipo hasn't been quite the teammate that, you know, he has shown publicly, and things have not gone well since the injury or since some time. And more in this article says that, you know, Oladipo's voice in the locker room, it's no longer his locker room and it's Brogdon's. And I, you know, this is just for me sitting in the locker room after games, right? Obviously, Oladipo only played in 19 games this season or whatever. But I agree with that. I would agree with that too. Brogdon, vocal leader, on-court leader, always trying to pick up his teammates. Oladipo clearly has said some incorrect things. So this story just has lots of twists and turns and parties involved that I did not expect to get involved. But if there's no if, right? Jay is reporting based on what multiple people have told him to be true. And again, it's not like these people are in cahoots or out to get anybody. Jay's reporting makes it seem like there is some sort of toxic environment going on that needs to be either addressed or completely altered, and it's up to the Pacers to figure out how to get on the level of these players and communicate with them and say, you know, fix your shit and play or get rid of one of them. And I actually came up with an Oladipo fake trade. My least favorite thing to do, fake trades. But I actually came up with a Victor Oladipo fake trade I like this week. And this timing is the perfect time to talk about it. So one more break and I will talk about it. So lo and behold, I am a fortunate genius. And I'll explain why. So this fake Oladipo trade involves the Dallas Mavericks. So Caitlin Cooper was kind enough to tweet out that Sports Betting, a website that lets you bet on everything, right, has odds for Victor Oladipo's next team if traded. Lo and behold, best odds, Dallas Mavericks plus 300. That was the team that I was opining in my head about. I've said opine so many times in the show. I was opining in my head about being Oladipo's potential next destination. Now, before I get to my trade, this list of traded teams for Vic, Mavs plus 300. We've talked about that on the show because, right, they want to be in the honest sweepstakes. It makes sense for them to try to get a guy who could fit around Luka, and if they want, they can re-sign him. They can still go for Giannis, though, because he's expiring. Next is the Knicks. Big market team needs a star. Oladipo would like it there. Makes sense all for them. Brooklyn Nets, same thing we've talked about with them. If he's bad for them, they can let him walk. If he's good for them, third star. That's kind of cheap. They can pair with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. The Bulls are next at plus 475. I have no idea what that would look like. I don't really get it for them. They already have Kobe White. They already have Zach LaVine. Not that those guys are better than Vic, but the fit is kind of odd. Whatever. If they want him, they can have him. Miami Heat are the next, also at plus 475. When I say they want him, they can have him. They would have to give up stuff. I just talking. Miami Heat plus 475 next. Obviously, we've talked about their connection a million times. The trade fit's kind of hard, but if he wanted to be there, they could re-sign him. They'd be maybe willing to give up a tiny bit more because he'd be willing to stay. But same thing. They're in the honest sweepstakes. Next year, they would like the expiring. And then the next two, both at plus 500, Philadelphia 76ers, Toronto Raptors. Raptors, yeah, they love this kind of guy, the guy they can buy low on and build into their culture and really grow up. And apparently the Raptors are one of the teams that he said this against during the season. All three of those teams are on this list. Sixers, I don't really get. I guess they do need ball handling, but he just doesn't seem like the greatest fit with Simmons and Embiid, but they have Daryl Morey now. They could literally do anything, and I would say, oh, okay, yep, they're just crazy. So the Mavs. Let's get back to the Mavs. I like the Mavs a lot because they just have, like, kind of what the Pacers would be going for. Oladipo's value is pretty low, and it's only falling with these kind of stories coming out, and he was pretty bad last year, and he's coming off a bunch of injuries. But the Mavs have kind of what the Pacers would want in the form of cost-controlled assets that are still good players. And that is a lot of words to say. They're just like, you get the guys that the Pacers typically go for, which is your 27 and under dudes who are already good, can play in your rotation, and aren't overpaid. And that is what the small market team kind of needs. And they can obviously get assets on top of that. But the Mavs have a ton of those things, right? They have Luka, they have KP, and then they have 10 of the player I just described. And some of them are good and some of them are less good, but they have a lot of these things. And Locked On Mavs has talked about Oladipo trades. You can go to Locked On Mavs and check all these out. So the fake trade that I came up with, there are three things on the Mavs that I like. Sorry, there are two things on the Mavs I really like and one that's kind of salary fodder. So let me go. Isaac Harris, writer for Mavs.com, Locked On Mavs. I DM'd him this, so now I have to go back and officially read it. But Seth Curry, Delon Wright, 18th pick, was the first three things that I threw in this trade. And I asked Isaac if he would do this. I'm leaking his DMs. I hope he didn't kill me for this. He said he would do that, right? So Seth Curry is good and has let me pull up the Mavs cap sheet so I can get all these numbers officially. But he has many years left on his deal still and is good and can shoot and can play Oladipo's position. So the exact deal for Seth Curry, he's paid through 2022-23. He has three more seasons at about $23 million left on his deal. So good deal, good player. Perfect. The second player, Delon Wright, can play point guard. Unfortunately, the Pacers don't really need another guard. So that's a tougher sell, but he is better than McConnell and Aaron Holiday. He is due $26 million over the next 3 years. So the Mavs kind of want to get off that money anyway. He would be a tougher fit, but with McConnell gone, great. You have another point guard on the roster. Aaron can play two guard positions. No problem. Great. You get two good players. 18th pick is a good pick. And honestly, that asset value is pretty close because Vic's not that good right now. So then I said, they also have the 31st pick, the Warriors' second-round pick, the best second-round pick. It's one shy of being a first-round pick. I said, can the Pacers have 31 too? He said, I'd probably want to keep 31 for depth, but if push came to shove, I'd give it up. Boom. That is my deal. If I can get 18, 31, Seth Curry, Dalen Wright, I would do that. Now, the other asset I like on the Mavs is Dorian Finney-Smith. He's a wing. He has 2 years left at $4 million each, and the Pacers need wings, right? So if they could swing Dorian Finney-Smith in there too, or maybe they let the Mavs keep the second rounder, but they also leave Dalen Wright on the Mavs. So then it's just Seth Curry and Dorian for him. Now, the money there I don't think works, right? You're only getting $11 million back for a $20 million player. But I think the Mavs have space this offseason that they could work that difference into if they were willing to do that. So that might be legal, and you still get a good first. I think that is my ideal Oladipo trade. I'm not sure. I'm really bad at coming up with fake trades, and it's not my favorite thing to do, but the odds matched up with what I was thinking, and I think the Mavs assets make a lot of sense. So the Mavs are the team that I am focusing in on for depot trades, and it makes some sense. And if he's really saying the things he's saying, or he wants to play for another team and is openly telling players on that team in front of his current teammates that, he might be traded sooner rather than later. Pacer situation be damned at that point, right? Even if it makes sense for them to wait to try to extract more value from him. And also that 18th pick has salary too. Sorry, I'm just going back to the trade. So if they wait till after the draft, they could actually add more salary via that way to make the trade more legal. Anyway, this is a lot to say that I think that deal or that team in construction makes a lot of sense. But I don't love fake trades. I'm not going to go make one with all the rest of the teams on that list. But yeah, the Oladipo saga continues, and we'll have to talk about this. The offseason literally starts like Sunday, Monday, basically. So I'm sure we'll be talking about this a lot. Edmund Sumner's season recap has to happen still. So Saturday podcast incoming tomorrow. I might honestly just do it later today, and they'll get two on this Friday. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll keep you guys updated as this saga carries on, and have a great weekend.